Ai, tēnā rā koutou katoe, te iwi hakarongo mai nei ki tō tātou reo irirangi o te hiko te ika, iwa tukau māwhitu ira tahi te iarere. Ai, i runga te waia kōrero ko tākuta Dion O'Neill, mai te puna matatini nō reira me tāria ke tātou ki aia, tēnā koe, Dr. Dion.
Kia ora.
Yeah, and thank you again for taking the time out to join us and talk about these changes that are developing within Aotearoa in regards to COVID-19. We have seen we are now in the third wave with the variant Omicron, and we have seen some of the most latest changes that are talking about the expansion time of isolation again and also my vaccine passes. But some of those changes really were to address Delta. What are you able to give us a little kōrero about an update of your view on some of these changes?
Yeah, absolutely. So that COVID protection framework and the vaccine passes that went along with it, so those were designed when we had Delta spreading and two doses of vaccination, and that was back when people were freshly vaccinated as well. That was really good at blocking infection from happening and stopping transmission. And so that meant that those COVID protection framework settings in the traffic light system, that worked pretty well, we'd expect, for when Delta was circulating. But then when in the start of this year we have Omicron show up and people's vaccinations waned a little bit, and two doses of vaccination, which is what that vaccine pass is recording, really doesn't give you much. It protects you from going into hospital if you get infected, but it doesn't do much to stop transmission happening with Omicron. Mm. And that it does mean that there's the opportunity to sort of to try and change some of those COVID protection framework settings in order to try and to keep the effect of them the same, but to have some different mechanisms to get there. So the estimate was that the COVID protection framework and vaccine passes, if we'd stuck with, if we still had Delta and we had things like that, that maybe give approximately a 20% reduction in your chance of being infected if you're at one of these events is protected by the COVID protection framework and vaccine passes. And if we're not getting that with the current setting, we'd want to sort of say, well, hey, what else can we do in order to try and get that 20 times infection? What are the other measures that we could be looking at?
Mm. And there has been those discussions of Auckland reaching its peak. The daily cases are no longer going over 20,000 and they're starting to decrease, and maybe even some other areas within Aotearoa. Are you able to give us a little bit more kōrero around what direction we should be taking from there?
Yeah, so the numbers are coming down, and certainly in Auckland. Some parts of Aotearoa are still going up. Canterbury and the West Coast and South Island still going up a bit. But even though those numbers are going down and they're under 20,000 a day, they're still really high numbers. So you think back, and the first time we had 1,000 cases a day, we were, and many people would have been quite shocked by that. That was a big number. And people rightly looked at that and thought, hey, that looks like a big increase in risk, and we want to sort of be doing everything we can to stay safe in that situation. And so we're still up and well up into the thousands of cases per day at the moment. So it's not like that risk's gone away yet. It's less of a shock because it's something we're familiar with now. But that's not the same thing as making it safe.
Just wanting to touch back on these protection frameworks that were first established for Delta, some questions that are out in the public and even ourselves up here in Te Hiku have been asked: is Delta still around? Are we still vulnerable to Delta, or is it simply Omicron that is now within Aotearoa?
So there's a tinsy bit of Delta still around. Hard to say exactly what the percentage of total cases is, because in order to determine the difference between Delta and Omicron, we need to do whole genome sequencing. We don't have a heap of capacity for that. It's slow and it's expensive. But there are still cases showing up, Delta cases showing up in the community. I mean, maybe they will go down to almost zero, probably not to completely to zero, but most of the risk at the moment is just from Omicron, just that you get such large numbers from it. So even though it's not as severe as Delta, you've just infected so many more people that your chances of having a big number of people show up in hospital stays high.
Mm. The impact of the isolation period has really shown throughout the local economy, New Zealand's economy, and also within areas of education, as I have been one who has been around and some of our tamariki have been infected. Do you have any kōrero on the reduced time to 7 days and now potentially moving back to 10 days?
Yeah, absolutely. So when we saw those case numbers going up, we reduced that isolation period to 7 days, not because we thought it was safer. We knew that there was that it was going to increase the risk if we shortened it to 7 days, because you're letting people go out into the community when they might not be fully recovered yet, and that would then would lead to some further infection. But the reason, well, the political reason that you might choose to reduce that isolation period anyway is because you're worried that otherwise you won't be able to get enough people going to work, you won't be able to get food on the shelves in the supermarket, you won't be able to get people driving the trucks and things like that. And so it was this balance between, well, when case numbers get really high, maybe politically you have to make the decision of increase that risk a bit in order to keep other things functioning. Mm. But now that case numbers are starting to come down a bit, there's some of that pressure has come off, and we've seen, hey, our supply chains, they've got a bit of stress, but they didn't fall over. The supermarkets, you might not have been able to get your favourite brand of something, but no one was going hungry because the supermarket shelves couldn't be stocked. And so there's the opportunity to move back to that slightly safer 10 days, and so that's going to do better at making sure that people are fully recovered and no longer infectious when they go out into the community. Mm. At the end of their isolation period. But the other thing that you put in alongside that, so at the moment, when someone becomes a confirmed case, we're not requiring them to get a negative test before they go back into the community. Because people do have a range of lengths of time that they stay infectious for. So if instead we said, okay, you've got to isolate for a minimum of 5 days or 7 days, but after that, if you return a negative test, then that's what we really care about before you go back out into the community. So that might mean that, hey, if someone's still returning a positive test on day 12, they keep isolating. But if someone on day 8 has returned some negative tests and they're confident in those negative tests, they can go straight back out there. It's making so it's using the science and the data out there and that testing capacity. And we do have a bit more testing capacity now as cases come down. We can go back to using some PCR testing in situations where we couldn't previously, where we had to rely on rats, which are a bit less accurate. So we can do slightly better in terms of sort of customising that isolation period to try and manage that risk and reduce the risk for the highest situations and give people a little bit more freedom in the lower risk situations.
Yeah, we really do appreciate that the pressures of COVID-19, both politically, financially, on our economy, and just also on our health, has not been an easy one to try and make decisions on what is the direction that we should take. But really do appreciate you taking the time out to share with our listeners up here in Te Tai Tukero and Te Hiko Te Ika, as in a rural place like Kaitaia, we definitely have felt those pressures of the supply chains at times, not being able to deliver each week on time, and maybe waiting a few more days for those shelves to be restocked. But again, any final kōrero for our listeners up here in Te Tai Tukero?
I mean, I guess one of the things that that comes through all of this is there's the minimum you can do that the COVID protection framework tells you that you absolutely must do, and then there's the, if you're able to, what you can do that's right to protect the people around you. It's the, looking after the people around you, staying home when you're sick. If you find out that you're a case, or you think you might be a case, passing that on to other people. It's the if you find out that someone else is a case, hey, check in. Do they need someone to help out with getting some groceries for them? Things like that. It's the looking after each other in the community. And that's how we can do more than the minimum that's required, which will keep the case numbers lower and keeps people healthier at the same time.
Takuta Dion, Neil, nei te mea tu kia koe, hei whai wā ki te kōrero kia hau, hei whāki wēnei o ngā kōrero ki o mātou whanaunga o te Tai Tukerau, tāku kia koe i tēnei wā, kia matāra, kia ora.
Kia ora.
Ai, ko Takuta Dion O'Neill tērā, koe ara te kai hautu, te manukura o te pūnaha matatini. Ai, me wētahi o ngā tino matatau i tēnei wā. I tuku wāna kōrero e pāna ki wēnei o ngā pūnaha i tēnei wā te pūnaha ramatoru, me te pūnaha o te ome kōna, ai te horapa haere o tēnei ome kōna, me pēhia rā te koke hakamua. Nō reire te whānau mautonu mai ki tō tātou reo irirangi o te hiko te ika, i wa te kou māwhitu i rātahi te iarere.